We'll get back into the Falcons conversation in just a couple of minutes here on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle, great job on the phones. Once again, we have taken just, I mean, all the calls over the last couple of days, even going back to Sunday on the Falcons flyover. And I'm right here with you. You guys know it. I say it all the time. I am two things, Atlanta. You know what they are. I'm emotional and I'm petty. So I'm right there with you, Falcons fans. And we'll take more of your calls coming up at 404-726-0929. Wanted to get our next guest on, though, because the Hawks might be figuring something out here without Trae Young. And maybe there's long-term implications for that. Maybe there's not. But a ton to get to in the association, so let's waste no time. Welcome in our buddy Keith Smith of Spotrac and Front Office Show. Keith, before we get here to the Hawks locally, the big news out of the NBA today, Mavs move on from Nico Harrison after just a disastrous calendar year for him. Are you surprised? And where does a team that started off, I think they're what, 3-8, go from here?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I think we're at a position where they were just, they had to do this. The fan base had lost all trust in the Mavericks. And once you get there, you know, with your fans just kind of giving up on you, you're going to lose them even more. I think it was the other night, their home game. That was the first home game they didn't sell out in over 24 years. So that gives you a sense of how down these folks were. I mean, this is a team with Cooper Flagg, the number one pick, and they were just done with Nico Harrison. And now where they go from here, we'll see. They didn't hire anybody new. They promoted Michael Finley and Matt Ricciardi are going to take over as the kind of co-GMs for the time being. And we'll see, you know, ultimately how that comes together for them. But they're in a position where they've got a lot to figure out. They've got moves they're going to have to make. They're going to have to consider, all right, do we need to move on from some of these vets on the roster? Or, you know, do we see this through? And that's going to really set the tone for them moving forward.
I just remain shocked by what Miami's able to do year in and year out. Huge win for them last night. Is that just because of the coach? Is it the total Heat culture thing? Miami off to another hot start with really, Keith, not a bona fide star on the team.
Yeah, what's interesting is this time around, Eric Spoelstra came in, and every coach, you know, if you had the media day bingo card, everybody's going to play faster, right? That's like the number one thing every team says. Well, after years and years under Eric Spoelstra, every year they're like a bottom three team in pace, and they play just so slow and so deliberate. And now they are the fastest team in the NBA. They're getting up and down the floor. They're running this really fun offense that involves a ton of ball and player movement, very little screening, very little of the handoff game that we're used to with the Heat. So it's been really interesting to watch that evolve. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they find these guys, they develop these guys, you know, as good or better than, you know, just about everybody else does. When you consider almost every year, they're picking fairly low in the draft.
All right. What is the, I know this is a tough question, but I asked this to every NBA correspondent I've had on the last couple of weeks. With VJ Edgecombe and the rest of that young crew, Tyrese Maxey, playing so well for Philly, what is the future for Embiid?
Yeah, it's really tough. And with the news today that, you know, he's back out again and he's got this knee issue that has cropped back up one more time, that's not good. You know, they're managing him. They're doing everything they need to do to kind of keep him healthy, and they can't even get it done. Like, we're now with him back on the shelf again. We don't have any kind of update on how long that'll be for, but none of this is leading anywhere good for the Sixers. Now with Maxey and Edgecombe, those guys are fun. You know, they're good players. They're really going to be, you know, fun guys to monitor and watch grow. And I think what Nick Nurse has done a nice job of is he is basically coaching almost kind of two different teams right now. He's running one kind of way when it's Embiid and those guys are available to him, and then he's running another kind of way when it is, you know, I got to run with my young guns and run with my guards, and it's really working for them. And I think what you're seeing is, all right, we don't know what we're going to get out of Paul George and out of Joel Embiid the rest of the way, but we're going to keep moving forward with our young kids, and we feel pretty good about this young core, and that should at least have Philadelphia fans feeling pretty good about it, knowing, you know, where they were previous. You're in kind of a tough spot being so reliant on guys who might not have been on the floor.
You think John Morant gets traded?
I do. I think we finally hit a point where it's time. I think, you know, with John Morant, we're in a position where it is eventually you kind of cross the point of no return, and he's not happy there. They don't seem super happy with him. I think why they're saying they're not going to trade him is because they want to make sure they get something of value. They don't want it to be in a position where, well, we had to trade him, so, you know, this is kind of where we're going with it. So I think we're in a spot where they want to be, you know, able to get real good value for Ja Morant. But I do think we've reached the end point with him in Memphis.
Yeah, it's basically a situation there. I don't think either side wants anything to do, to your point, with the other one. The team that they're facing tonight on the road is the New York Knicks. Mike Brown, talk about coming into a job with heavy expectations, but so far so good, 6-3. Do you buy that he could keep this thing going in a way that Tibbs couldn't, where they were out of gas at the end?
Yeah, I do, because he isn't driving the guys into the ground, right? He is really making sure that these guys are playing, you know, a good amount of minutes each night, and that's huge. He's also kind of modernized the offense, where it's not a, you know, Jalen Brunson pounding the ball for 20 seconds of the shot clock until, you know, they kind of set up an action. They're just getting in their stuff. They're moving. They're trusting guys like Bridges and Ananobi and Towns with the ball in their hands more than just, all right, we have to run everything through Jalen Brunson, and that's going to be big for them. Their defense has been a little up and down, but I think that'll settle in here eventually. And I think once it does, we're going to be in a spot where we really see, you know, the Knicks, you know, really kind of get going. They're off to a good start, but we know they can be even better than they've been so far.
Talking all things NBA and Hawks with our buddy Keith Smith. Make sure you check out his work and find him online on socials as well. Keith Smith, NBA. All right, here in Atlanta, a bunch of stuff to talk about. Nice couple of games here for the Hawks. Vic Krejci out of nowhere goes for 28 against the Clippers last night. They stave off a triple-double with 35 from James Harden. Back-to-back wins in Hollywood before going to Sacramento tomorrow, a bad Sacramento team. Do you think that Quinn Snyder's found something that could help keep this team afloat? I think, Keith, we're looking at no Trae Young for at least two or three more weeks.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is – you're getting a glimpse of, all right, if they ever did want to move Trae Young, this is what it could look like with the Hawks post Trae Young. And it's not, you know, I mean, he's the big name, right, that's been out, but they've also been without Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who is, you know, more or less functioning as Young's backup. So that is, you know, something that we're going to be kind of keeping an eye on here. Also, you know, when he gets back, but this is a good team. It's a deep team. And I think they're starting to finally kind of find who they want to be identity wise. And I thought last night's game, you know, Vic Krejci coming off the bench and going crazy. My buddy Trevor Lane from Front Office Show and I were calling that game on the NBA strategy stream on League Pass. And we were just like, what is going on here? And I mean, he made everything, but it's a pretty good team with pretty good depth. And that can go a long way in the regular season towards having a good, successful year.
How do you feel like Quinn Snyder has done so far here in Atlanta? It's a tough question because he's dealt with so many injuries, but it feels like this is the first year he's really gotten a full offseason to try to put in exactly what he wants to do with a lot more talent being added in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he's done a nice job. I think Quinn Snyder is one of the better coaches in the NBA. I think he, you know, runs good stuff. I think he can tailor an offense to do a lot of different things depending on what the personnel is that's available to him. And I think that's a very underrated thing. We get with coaches, like we kind of just talked about it with the Knicks, right? Tibbs is going to play a certain way. And if the personnel fits that, great. If it doesn't, it's not going to go very well. And with the Hawks and Quinn Snyder, what you're seeing is, all right, we'll play different ways, right? We'll run the offense through Jalen Johnson. Last night was a lot of, we're going to put the ball in Dyson Daniels' hands and let him do a lot of the creation for us. And those are the things you have to be able to do is, you know, change up to your personnel, because if you get stuck too much on, all right, this is how we're going to play, if you don't have the right guys to play that way, it doesn't really matter.
All right, before I let you go, a couple of off-the-court questions. Do you think this is the last we've heard of the gambling situation, the poker situation? Was that a couple of ex-players caught up in something way over their heads? Or do you think it's possible, Keith, that there is something more to this story that could affect more of the league?
Yeah, you know, I want to believe that's it. We're not going to have to deal with any more of this. I, you know, but I live in a very, you know, hyper realism world, and I think, you know, we are probably going to hear more of this. I think the gambling culture is so embedded now, and it's, I always say, you know, it was one thing when you you know, were in a position where, all right, I make a bet, I got to drive down to my local bar and meet my guy in the back room and kind of, you know, get my bet on the board, and if I don't pay it off, they're going to break my arm. Now it's, all right, we're just going to take your house, right? And it's now guys get caught up, and what happens with these players sometimes is, I think they're very innocently, they're telling a buddy like, yeah, man, you know, player X, our superstar, he's feeling under the weather and he's not going to play today. That's going to mean it's a tough game. Well, then their friends turn that into, hey, that information's not out there. Let me turn that into a bet. And that's where now all of a sudden it's, man, you shared inside information. And then when you have things like, all right, were you going under? Were you removing yourself from games and that sort of stuff? That's what gets scary. So I'm hopeful, you know, that the NBA is going to do what they need to do, and the government as well, and they'll crack down. But I do think we're going to probably see, you know, more of this, unfortunately, before it kind of all goes away.
And before I let you go, we talked about the Clippers earlier. The Hawks played them last night. Do you believe that the commissioner is going to levy some harsh punishment on Steve Ballmer and company?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to see here. I think what's really interesting is there's a lot of folks who are very upset that nothing has happened yet in their minds, right? They're like, how are we not done, you know, with this? Why have you not taken action? But as Adam Silver has said, is like, you know, hey, we have to do a very thorough investigation on this to understand what did and didn't happen here, because the last thing they're going to do is start levying what will be major, major punishments unless they are certain. So they're going to take their time. It's not hurting anybody to take their time right now. So I do think, you know, if they come to a place, you're going to see probably some of the most harsh punishments we've seen handed down. They went after the Timberwolves pretty good when they did it with Joe Smith. But I think this is, you know, kind of a chance for the league to set a precedent of, do not do this. If you do this, we are going to, you know, really kind of hand your franchise a penalty that you're going to have a hard time to come back from.
The one thing, just real quick, that I don't understand is why Steve Ballmer went so quickly on the offensive before, you know, even all the evidence was put out against him. It just seemed like that was such a crucial misstep in order to try to get this thing, you know, to go away. Like, why would you stake your neck out there when there's so much damning evidence saying what you did?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's tough because, you know, I know people who very much, you know, say this with full belief of, he did that because he is, we did not do this, right? We are okay. And that is where, you know, there are people who are saying like, hey, it does not, you know, Matt, like, this is not a thing that happened. And then there are others who are like, yeah, well, that's, you know, textbook 101. When they attack you, you attack back. So, you know, I think, you know, again, much like the gambling, I think we've got a lot more to come with this story before we hear the end of it.
Keith, thank you so much for the time. Great stuff. Appreciate it as always. We'll be checking out your work.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Keith Smith there, front office show, Spotrac NBA. All right, we'll take more of your calls, 404-726-0929. If you didn't get in, Falcons fans, back to the phones. Can Michael Penix Jr. be fixed? This coaching staff's got 8 games to try to save the season. And also, Garrett has 5 Falcons true and false questions for me. We'll do all that next.